You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
One of the brilliant things about growing up in Australia as a boy and as a teenager is in Australia we have something called the sun. And the thing about the sun is this, is that in Australia where I lived, it was the sun would shine most of the time. We had about 10 to 12 days of rain a year, and then the sun would be out. And so here's the thing, even if it did rain, it would only rain for a short time, and so you could be guaranteed that there would be sun either side. Rarely would we have drizzle, rarely would we have the rain that comes in, you know, the wet type of rain that we have here in Manchester, the type of rain that really gets you wet. Which is not really the heavy stuff, it's the soft stuff. It's just always in the air, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you kind of walk inside, you have to wring out your socks. You weren't even aware that it was raining, but it was just kind of, you know, the atmosphere. There was a lot of precipitation going on and different things like that. It's a good word, precipitation. Yeah, translate that, Ellie. What's your name? Eleni, translate that, precipitation. Ah, you're smart, Alec. And the sun, and so when Sophie and I got married and we moved to England in 1996, we discovered about this idea that we British people love, which is package holidays. We went on this package holiday, we booked a package holiday to go to Malta. We arrived, some of you heard the story, the hotel that we first stayed in, was half built. They were still building it. They built the pool in the shade. It was in the shade all day. Who wants the shade, the pool in the shade all day? And there were all sorts of things that were going on that made it really not the most ideal holiday. But the sun did shine. And we found out that John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John were coming to perform on the island. We were really excited about this. If you don't know, John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, they're both A-listers. Well, he is still to this day. Both famous actors. What they perform in? Grease is the thing that really took them into great fame. And we heard they were coming to the island of Malta. We had this, it was guaranteed to us because our tour rep said that if we paid 25 euros, 30 euros each, we could get on a bus, go to the other side of Malta, and we would get free food. There would be wine, well, free food, we were paying for it. There'd be wine and John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. So we thought, wow, this is fantastic. You ever seen things from a distance? And on the horizon, they look amazing. On the horizon in your life, but when you get up close and personal, you realize this is not what I thought it would be. Some of the guys in our church recently bought a house, and they showed me the house on Rightmove. We've just bought this, had this offer accepted, and they said it's a fixer-upper. I said, it doesn't look like a fixer-upper. And the reality was this, in the pictures it looked amazing, but when you stepped into the house, you realized this is a fixer-upper. It's amazing how in life, often what can take place is that things on the horizon look amazing from a distance, but up close, it's challenging. I got to tell you that when we went to Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta's concert in Malta, then actually we discovered that they weren't actually Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. It was just some of the tour reps who were dressed up like John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. It looked great from a distance, but up close and personal, we wanted our money back. You know, it's easy in life, I think, to actually fall into the trap of living our lives on the basis of what is on the horizon. And thinking to ourselves, if only I could marry that person. If only I could have that job. If only I had a bank balance with X amount of money. If only I could live in that city, go to that church, be a part of that team. If only I could have that over there. And yet invariably what happens is this, is we end up living our lives where we're so busy waiting for what's on the horizon that we miss out what's in front of us right now. The farmer knows this. The farmer lives for the moment when there is a harvest. It's a future moment. But how many of you know the farmer doesn't just wait for the harvest? The farmer has to do something. The farmer takes his or her seed, and what he does is he spends all his time and their time. What they do is they're sowing their seed. Their eye is on the horizon for a future harvest, but in sowing the seed, they're busy now. Because if they spend their time living for the future and waiting for a future moment, how many of you know they're never going to have a future moment because they were busy looking over there and they did not realize and appreciate what they had and what they had to do here and now. I want you to know, tonight's message is called this, Living My Best Life. Because so many of us are waiting for a moment all the way over there, but God wants you to know that your best life is here right now. You are living your best life right now. We've got a few pictures coming up on screen of people who are living their best life. You see it on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and MySpace and you TwitFace and everything like that. People with these hashtags, living my best life. You see people on all these beautiful, exotic locations around the world living my best life. Johnny Bracegirdle and I were in Bogota, Colombia 2 weeks ago, 8,000 feet up in the Andes. We took a selfie with Bogota behind us, and I did think at that moment, here we are living our best life. But I want you to know something. God wants you to know that your best life is not on the horizon. Your best life is not situated in the next job. Your best life is not found in the new relationship. Your best life is not found with more money in the bank account. No, no, no. God wants you to know, just like the farmer knows, that your best life, folks, is here right now. Because what you and I are doing right now in sowing seed is this, is we are creating our future. Way too many people are waiting for the horizon to come to them and invariably find out that it's just John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, or not. It's disappointing. It's the house that looked amazing on the picture, but as soon as you walk through the door, you think to yourself, oh my gosh, this house needs a lot of work. Every single one of us right now, God wants us to know that this is our best life already. Hebrews 11:13. Here's a verse that has always vexed me, Mark Foster. It says this, all these people, the heroes of Scripture, did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from the distance. They were here looking to the horizon, but I want you to see what the verse says, that they never actually got to that horizon and inhabited that place, that space, and that perfect ideal. See, here's a tendency in Manchester today. Here's a tendency in 2019. Part of our nature is this, is that we can spend so much time living for a future horizon that because what we do is this, is our nature is we miss what is in anticipation for what will be. Let me say that again. We miss what is in anticipation for what will be. If you're a visionary like me, I don't live in 2019. Our monthly Sunday night service here, I don't see just 400 people in a service. I don't live here. This for me, is interesting. Any church service is interesting. The little things that annoy me, that the team say, why, Glenn, would you be annoyed by that? You need to relax, and maybe I do, but my frustration is this, is I'm not living in 2019. Part of my problem, which drives me nuts, is that I'm realizing that what I do in 2019 creates the reality of my life for 2029. What I do now. And because human tendency is to miss now whilst living in anticipation for a future moment, we oscillate and live at times in a sense of never quite being content and satisfied. But I want you to know that right now, right here, Manchester Sunday night, God wants you to know you can live your best life now. You don't have to wait for a future season. You don't have to wait for holidays in Mallorca. This can be your best life because your best life is not found in that new relationship. Your best life is found in someone else. So how do I live my best life now. I got 2 points for you. 2 points here. How do I live my best life now? Number one, my best life requires a recognition of source. My best life requires that recognition. John 10, verse 10. For the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says this, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So we have two characters being played out here. We have God and we have the devil. And they both have one job. Just one job. On Twitter, I follow a funny Instagram Twitter name. It's called You Had One Job. And basically, it's photographs of people who only had one job and failed in it. And I just go off and just waste minutes of my day just laughing at this Twitter feed. You had one job. Things that people, one job. God has one job for you. He does for you. God's one job is this. I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullest. Not just in eternity, friend, but now. The devil, on the other hand, he comes with one purpose: to steal, to kill, and destroy. I think this is an amazing thing to lay a hold of today, that actually when you and I realize and recognize that true life, that living my best life needs to recognize source, when you begin to understand that God himself is the source of great things, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life to the full. And here's what I really want you to get a hold of tonight. Life to the full in Jesus is not based in geography. Rewind, let me repeat. Your best life in Jesus is not found in geography. It's not found in a relationship on a human level. Your best life in Jesus is not found with that perfect job and that perfect team that you're a part of. No, your best life in Jesus is not found in any external thing. Father, I pray you'd help our church to become hearers and not just hearers, but become doers. I want you to hear this. Your best life right now is not found in what you do. Friend, your best life right now is found in none other than the person of Jesus Christ. That's where we find our best life. Because the problem is this. If our best life is found in geography, then what happens when you get bored with that geography? If your best life is found in recognition from a pastor, then I want to know what happens when that recognition is not happening as frequently. If your best life is found in your bank balance, what happens when your bank balance diminishes? There is only one thing that is unchanging. And that is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus says. This beautiful passage in John chapter 15, he says this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit. Not a little bit of off fruit. We got some strawberries growing in our back garden. We've got only a few. There's only 3 strawberries on the strawberry plant. I went to pick one up to eat it. 1 of 3 strawberries. Half of it is rotten. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about half of your life is rotten. This part over here is rotten. He says, no, no, no. In me, you will bear much fruit. Now, here's a little bit of a test for you single people out there. If you're looking for somebody who's a man or a woman of God to marry, look for their fruit. Because they can be in church doing the whole dance and they can look really great. But my question is this, what's the fruit? Because Jesus says in Scripture that you will know my people according to their fruit. Fruit is everything. And he says this, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. in 2019, we have a crisis in the church world globally. Not here, because you're perfect, but in every other church. And the crisis is this, is Christian people looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in what they do. Friend, the clue is in the title, Christian. And if you take Christ out of Christian, you're left with Ian. Ian's a nice guy, but let me tell you something, he didn't die on the cross for you. It's all about Christ. I want you to know, your best life starts now when we recognize it's found in none other than Jesus himself. My job can change. My sense of self-worth can change. The money that I have can change. My geography can change. Relationships in my world can change. But when I center my life around none other than Jesus Christ, it's amazing how in any season, even when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to be one of these poverty-spirited people who spend all their time talking about the valley of the shadow of death. David didn't do that. He didn't say, look how bad and deep the valley is, how dark the shadow is. He says, no, I won't fear, for you are with. See, his life was centered on God. Something amazing happens, friend, when you center your life on Jesus. I wonder, do you know truly as a Christian believer what it is to center your life on Jesus? Because this is the Jesus business that we're in, friend. The head of this house is Jesus. The person we worship, his name is Jesus. We only do what we do as pastors and leaders and team members and volunteers because of Jesus. Oh, come on. Where would we be without Jesus? What would our lives look like without Jesus? What would we be worshiping if it wasn't for Jesus? Because here's the thing, we were created to worship. And so what happens is this, is we worship money, but money changes. We worship the job changes. We worship relationships, relationships change. We worship what we do, we make it central to our, and all of those things shift and shape and move, and our shadows that come and they go. But Jesus, he says this, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So friend, I want you to know something substantial happens when you get to a place where really you don't care. Don't care. I don't care. I don't care if I preach or don't preach. I don't care if I lead or don't lead. I don't care if the pastor puts their arm around me or doesn't put their arm around me. I don't care whether I got money or don't have money. Paul put it this way in the Bible. I've learned to be content in every circumstance. He says, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, clothed or naked, whether I'm safe or I'm in danger, whether I'm prospering or I've got nothing. He says this. He says, I know the secret of contentment. Audacious church, it is not found in what you do. It's found in who you know. Listen, I want you to know there are people who've in our church who've walked through the deadliest things, cancers, life-threatening illnesses, challenges, breakdowns, and the reality is this, there are many people you wouldn't even know they walked through it. Pastor Leah on the weekend at Luminous, Saturday night, last night, talking about her living with cancer. And the reality is this, the only reason people knew it was because she lost her hair. But every week she's in church, she's lifting her hands. She's singing songs like Waymaker. Why? Because my best life is not found through what's happening in my body. My best life is found in who my life is centered upon. And friend, when you center your life on Jesus, things change. I want to know, how well do you know him? I'm not talking about how well you know church. I'm not talking about how well you know religion. Catholicism, Protestantism. I'm not talking about how well you know the liturgy of a church service. What kind, how well do you know Jesus? Because living our best lives is not found in a screen and smoke and all these amazing things that we celebrate in Audacious Church week in, week out. Our best life, your best life, is found in Jesus. Come on, let's take a moment. Let's give him some praise across this place. Come on, let's worship him. for the cross. Let's thank him for the cross. Thank him for resurrection. Let's thank him that he rescued us. He found us. He saved us. We're made complete in him. Friend, I think that times we need to come to a place, musos, come and join me. We've got to get to a place where no longer are we allowing our lives to get distracted. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to steal your purpose in God. He's coming to rob you of your identity found in Christ. He's wanting to thieve away that personal relationship that we have with Jesus. I want to speak to every volunteer, every team member in the life of our church. Friend, don't forget we do this for Jesus. Let's not become so busy that we do the doing that we forget about actually our personal relationships with Jesus. Living my best life is found in recognizing the source. But not only that, and I want to finish with this, is my best life requires faith. Because when I'm centered in Jesus, now I bring faith into the equation. And it doesn't really matter what's happening in life, really. Because I'm centered on Jesus, who's immovable, and I've got faith for the unknown. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And people often say to me, well, Glenn, what is faith? What does faith really look like? Well, I want you to know that any venture of faith, with any venture of faith, if faith is 51% of the equation, trust makes up the difference. In the sense of, if God speaks to you, he speaks to you about a miracle that he wants to do. There's a prayer on your prayer wall. You lifted your hand a moment ago, said, Glenn, I'm believing for a miracle. I'm believing for a breakthrough. Even if you don't trust 100%. Sorry, if you don't have faith for 100% for it, you don't need that. Because God works in the gap. He works in the gap between where your faith runs out and he steps in. I mean, how many countless stories do we know through the life of Audacious Church, for those of you who've been a part of it long enough to know that actually this only happens by faith? Gosh, we reach a moment where our capacity, our ability runs out, and our faith is kind of like, oh gosh, God, we're in a challenging place. And what happens is we just say, God, but we trust you. Here's what the Bible says about this very thing. It says, in his heart a man plans his steps. Proverbs 16 verse 9. In their heart a person makes their steps. But it is the Lord that determines our course. Guys, here's what happens. We spend so much time looking at this destination point here. Look at this line. That line's like the destination point there. That what happens is we spend so much time looking at that moment over there. Our life is building to that moment. How often do we see in the news about now famous people, now famous and disgraced people, who ended up getting to the horizon of fame, and fortune, and influence, and now their lives are in absolute shambles because they discovered the answer to living our best life is not what's on the horizon, but it's what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. And for you and I, it's found in Christ. And here's what is discovered, that faith often brings me to this point when God's spoken about something and I think, God, I don't know how to get from here to there, but I can trust you. I've done everything I can do. And now with the gap, I trust you. You know, with the house Soph and I bought a decade ago now in Manchester, we ended up getting just like a really crazy deal. The builders were building and they said, we're going to give you 40% off. It was something 40% or something ridiculous like that. It was a big figure. And it ended up at a place where there was a 20 grand shortfall between what they were prepared to reduce it by. I don't think we even really asked them about it. They just wanted to get rid of the houses. There's a shortfall between that and what we could afford. But the deal was so good If you want to know if God's in something, folks, look for favor. Favor's usually the sure sign that God's up to something. I mean, before we bought this building, we were negotiating on another building for how long? Nearly a year? Going to the table three times, we thought, to sign the papers. And each time they changed the requirement, wanted more money, doing this, we're going to add this into the clause. And in the end, we walked away. It was no favor. And I'm saying, this is the right building. The building we're going for, the right building. And Sophie kept saying to me, it's not the right building. There's no favor. I'd say, get thee behind me. It's the right building. Favor was the key. And with our house 10 years ago, we got to a point where favor was all over it. But we still had a shortfall. We'd taken everything we had, every little bit of saving, every little bit of investment, everything that we had, and it got us to this point. Favor was on the other side. What do we do with a shortfall? And here's something that we have learned with faith. When you get to the end of yourself and you see favor, that's when you trust. It's very hard to trust somebody who's not trustworthy. If you haven't seen God come through in little things, then it becomes very difficult to believe God for big things. That's why faith is like a harvest. The harvest grows, it grows. And for example, with our finances, we sow into the kingdom of God, and you start small, but as you begin to see God being trustworthy and coming through, you're able to continue to sow and to give more, because you have this understanding now that our lives are not centered on money, our lives are centered on Jesus Christ. And when I run out, trust kicks in. So how often do we pray, God, have no idea what you're going to do, but I can't wait until you do it. Because then what happens is this. You stand on the other side of the miracle, and people say, how did that happen? And you say this, verse straight out of the Bible, the Lord has done this, and it's marvelous. How boring just to live within your own capacity. How boring just to live within your own capabilities and strength and workload. How brilliant and exciting to center your life on Jesus, to hear Him speak, step out in faith, and know that when I get to the end of myself, I can trust the Waymaker, the miracle worker, the one who will ultimately come through for me. Living my best life, it's found in a person, not a place. It's found in a person, not an ideology. It's found in a person, not in a bank account. And living my best life requires faith. Here's what the Bible says. It says these beautiful words. It says, now faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith. Do you know there's a verse in the Bible that says, don't worry about tomorrow? You know that verse? And I don't know, I'm not even going to go for a poll of how many of us across this place, we worry about what is going to happen tomorrow. But I want you to notice what the Bible says about faith. It says faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is now. So the question of, are you concerned about tomorrow? Are you worried about tomorrow? The reality is this, is there's actually no grace for tomorrow because I'm not in tomorrow. Something happens, though, when you wake up on a Monday and you know grace, favor, centered life on Jesus Christ and faith. You wake up in the new tomorrow, which is now today, and where previously you would have been afraid, you had a revelation. Faith's now. Faith's not yesterday. Faith's now. Friend, that's why tonight, when you go to bed, you don't have to worry about Monday. Jesus said, don't worry about it. Why? Because you're not there yet. But you're going to find that when you wake up tomorrow, the God who is with you today, He's going to be with you tomorrow, which is now today. You can trust Him. You trusted Him today. You got through today. You got out of bed today. You came to church today. You did married life and family life today. You ate today. You went to the bathroom today. You cooked in the kitchen today. You went to the park today. And tomorrow will be a new day. Now, faith.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.